We have a full day today, and we're excited about what God's going to do. We're going to have Dr. Sigstad come just 1 minute and preach to us. Met Dr. Sigstad several years ago, probably 15 years ago maybe, and became real friends. Our hearts knitted. He's one of our favorite missionaries. I think he's one of the greatest preachers in America. And Dr. Mark Sigstad is my friend. I love him with all my heart. There's a closeness with us. He and his wife and my wife, I think we have a closeness and oneness of heart. I love him because he loves our Savior. And he serves with this man here, him and his wife, dedicated on the field for God. So I want you to hear your missionary from Africa today. Dr. Mark Sigstad, would you come, Brother Mark?
Yes. What time do you normally pray? All right. I'm just checking. All right. The pastor doesn't tell me. I ask the people. I asked him what time he normally closes. All right. Yeah. See, when pastors tell a missionary, you know, it's easy for a pastor to tell a missionary, you know, take as long as you want, because they know we're leaving. But if the missionary is going to stay your favorite missionary, he wants to end on time, all right? Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Nehemiah. Now, our church, all right, New Manna Baptist Church, now we're just a little over 6 months old. And we're like your church. We're in the process of looking for, you know, you've got land, we don't have land yet. But we're in the process, we're looking to build. And so I am actually going to preach a message to you that I preach to my church. Amen. And so this isn't, but it's not that I didn't have more time to prepare a message. I believe this message can help you because you're in the same situation that we are. And, you know, God is a God who can take care of things. You know, he takes care of things for us. I think we have forgotten that it's God is the one, you know, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. This church doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to God. Amen. All right? It's his business to you know, provide for you. I think the problem is we doubt God.
You're right.
I think we don't think big enough for God. I have some big dreams. When we went back to Nigeria, you know, I had prostate cancer, and I had, you know, I went through the surgery, and, you know, and then we did, you know, God opened the door for us to go back. And I had taken, you know, I had a position at a big church. You know, I was a director of, you know, working with missions. But I knew God wanted me to be on the field.
Amen.
And yet I had a lot of people who actually tried to discourage me. Because they looked at me as like, well, don't you think you're a little old to be going back and starting a new church? And I told people, you know what, I'm smarter than the young missionaries. Because
yes.
I've already made my mistakes, all right? I made them 20 years ago. All right, and I know the people, I know the culture, I know, you know, Linda and I have grown up out there. And so we went back and we spent a year encouraging our national pastors, traveling and encouraging them. And then we decided we're starting a brand new church. And we started this church, and we've got a bigger vision today than when we first went to the field 24, 25 years ago. I mean, we first went to Africa in 1984. That's 24 years ago. And you know, and in January we'll celebrate 25 years, you know, in Africa. And I believe that you and I, you know, the verse you've got, let us rise up and build. You know, that's not just let us people, it's let us and God rise up and build. I mean, I love this church, but my prayer is that when I'm finished preaching tonight, after tonight, my prayer is that this is the last time I preach in this building.
Amen.
In this building.
Yeah.
I want to come back and preach for Bethel Baptist Church, but I don't want to preach in this building.
Yeah, amen.
I think it's time that we decide. And so I'm going to give you five, six things this morning. We'll end on time, all right? We'll end on time, all right? This is in Nigeria where, you know, my Pastor Alade, who is my assistant pastor, Pastor Benga, he's preaching right now, but he's preaching the evening service. All right, so he'll finish and I'll finish on time. You know, we believe in being on time. And we let people know, you come on time, we're finished on time. But if you fall asleep, I may have to go another three or four, all right? So in Nehemiah chapter 2, I want to just read two verses. I'm going to pray, and then you just go ahead and fasten your seatbelt, all right? Does this thing work?
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna plug myself in here, all right?
Switch it on, brother.
Switch it on? All right, let there be power. Okay, the red light comes on. Okay, the red light is on. Okay, and I'm going to cook this up. Look, if you would, at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This is going to be part of the first point. But I believe there's some ingredients when you consider building for God. And so that's why we're going to look at several verses in the book of Nehemiah and several other verses. And I just want you to know, you know, one of the things I would challenge you to do. Well, let me get into that. See, I can't even get to the scripture before I want to preach. All right? Look, if you would, all right, in chapter 2, verse 1 of Nehemiah. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, not the car Nisan the month, all right? In the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Now notice this, then I was very sore afraid. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me get across the things that you want me to say this morning. Father, I'm so excited about what you are doing. Father, there are so many naysayers in the world today. They look around and see the cup half empty, and yet, Father, I see it half full. And Father, there's so many things that I believe you want to do, that you want to accomplish. And Father, I think you're looking for some men and women who will trust you. And Father, I want to be one of those. I believe this church wants to be some of those people. And I pray, Father, that you would use me this morning to be a challenge and to encourage and to help this church and Brother Skyver. Father, I do want this to be the last morning I preach in this pulpit, you know, in this church building. Father, I want to see this church building in the hands of someone else and Bethel Baptist on their new property. Father, you can do that. And Father, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts this morning to begin moving us. Father, some people have not even mentally moved to the new property. And Father, yet we need to do that in our minds so that, Father, we're prepared to move in our bodies. Now, bless this time we spend together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, keep your finger in Nehemiah. I want you to go to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at several verses in Psalms in a minute, but I want you to see one verse. This is a verse that my church folks are using as a challenge for us. We believe that the God of Psalms is our God. All right? David had no corner on God. One of the things that we talk about in Nigeria, we use different terminology than you do. You know, when we talk about going and praying to God, in our church, we're asking God to do something outrageous for us. That's the word we're using. We've got everybody in our church praying, God, do something so outrageous for us that Psalm 86, verse 17 kicks in. Psalm 86, verse 17 says this, show me a token for good. Now, we're not even asking God to bring a truckload. We're asking Him to bring a token for good. Why? That they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because Thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. I want our church to, we've challenged our church, the New Manna Baptist Church. And again, we're a young church, mostly new converts. They didn't know anything about giving. They didn't know anything about, you know, how to get God's blessing in their life. They didn't know anything about prayer. And in the last 6.5 months or so, we've spent, you know, our Sunday school time, Sunday morning time, Sunday night time, and the Thursday power hour. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All right? There's truth in the Bible, you know, and the Word of God is quick and powerful. And we've got our church folks, you know, they're coming and they're just kind of like sponges soaking everything up. But I told them, I said, let's ask God to do something so outrageous that, you know, our enemies and our friends and even we as a church will kind of step back and say, wow, look what God did. See, you've lost your wow.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
You've lost that.
Come on.
See, because you don't need God. You got MasterCard.
Yeah, right.
You don't need God. You've got electricity here in the church. You got running water. You've got, you know, you're talking about flush toilet. He's talking about carrying around. When he talked about carrying around a bag, I thought, oh, no, he's not going to talk about that. Because they do carry around plastic bags for other things. Right? Empty ones that they fill up on the road. We don't even want to talk about that. Right? You have flush toilets. You don't talk about flush toilets. We don't have toilets. All right? So thank God. But you understand, you've lost your wow. You don't believe God can do this. David had a God that he said, show me something fantastic so that my enemies, I don't need my notes, but I'm just going to come down here and pick them up before somebody else does, all right? I don't want you to go to sleep, all right? But David had a God that he could go to and say, hey, do something for me so that they see it and know you're helping me.
Yeah.
There are churches all over this city. And they can, you know, I mean, look what you're doing. Building by faith as God provides.
Yes.
You could move in tomorrow, go down to the bank and borrow money. But that doesn't need faith.
That's right.
That doesn't need faith.
Right.
That doesn't say wow about your God.
Right.
Then you walk away and say, wow, the banker gave us a loan. Hey, God doesn't share the wow with anybody.
Amen.
That's why we need to get God back into this and say, hey, look what God is. What are the ingredients for building for God? Well, number one, from Nehemiah, the first thing is fear. Everybody has fear. All right, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2, it says, then I was very sore afraid. This is Nehemiah. Listen, everybody has fear. There are people in this room right now, you're afraid of moving from this place because you're comfortable.
Yeah, right.
You know this place.
Yeah.
And you're comfortable. Why do you think a mother goes through labor? That baby doesn't want to come out. That baby's comfortable. And it takes a lot of work to have a child. Now, you fathers, you know, strut around and pat yourself on the back and look what I did. And your wife did most of the work. Let's be honest now. Let's be honest, all right? She's the one that, you know, we're wringing our hands, but she's feeling the pain of labor. You know, that's why the fathers wimp out, the mothers in labor rooms, like, I'm going down to get a cup of coffee as you walk out and a sandwich, and I'll be back when the child is born. You know, because there's a lot of work to having a child. It takes a lot. Listen, it's a natural thing to have fear. Nehemiah already has a burden. He already has a desire, and all of a sudden, the king's literally saying, what's going on? And the first thing he feels, not jubilation, is fear. And that's exactly, there's people in this room right now, you're fearful. You're afraid of getting half done and not finishing. Or you're afraid what happens if something happens to the preacher or he leaves or what happens if this or what happens. You're imagining all kinds of bad things and the devil's very happy with that.
Yeah.
That's why every building program, every time you take a step of faith, there's fear involved at some point. And Jesus, when he had his disciples, he looked at them and said, why are ye fearful and afraid? I mean, they saw Jesus coming and their knees knocked together. They were so frightened. I mean, I've got a handful of people. You know, I mean, we started with 37 charter members of our church. All right, six and a half months ago, we had 37 charter members of the New Manna Baptist Church. We've hit over 100 people coming to church now.
Amen.
But you understand, they're looking at, like, we don't have big money. There are people who think, well, okay, Pastor Mark, you know, you did this. You know, this is Brother Sigstead doing it, not the African people. I have news for you. All right, our church voted to give 84,000 naira to your church. The next Sunday, all right, we took up our normal, regular tithes and offering. I put in 6,000 naira. That's what I put in. And when it was counted, there was 91,000 naira. God gave 85,000 naira to the Africans.
Wow!
You understand? It's like, how can God do this? Hey, God can give money to anybody. The thing is we all are going to face fear. But I, you know, where it's like, oh, we're going to give this money away to your church, and we need the money in our church. Hey, I listen. The tap that I turned on is a tap that runs forever. God owns the water.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, some of you need to just come down here. You don't have to come this morning if you don't want to. But some of you ought to come down this aisle, find a spot, and say, Lord, I'm fearful, I'm afraid, take that away.
Right.
Everybody has got that. You might as well admit it and get rid of it.
Right.
But then there's next thing. All right, what else is there? Number two, in a building program, or okay, we're talking about what a building, something for God. There is fear. Number two, there is faith.
Right.
There's always going to be faith. Notice what it says here, all right? Chapter 2, look at the verse thing, all right? Now, verse 2 says, then I was so very sore afraid. That's the fear part. But verse 3 is the faith part. Because now he says, then said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, the gates thereof are consumed with fire. All right, look at verse 7. All right, moreover, I said, the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me. Now he starts to exercise faith. All right, he knows what he's got to do, and now he begins to get some courage. Yes, he's afraid because he's standing before the king. He doesn't want to have to admit what's going on. But now it takes some faith. You know what? If you come tonight, I hope you do. Tonight I'm going to talk about faith. I'm preaching out of a chapter in the Bible that deals with faith. And by the way, it's not Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. No, Hebrews 11, you know, is about faith, yes. But there's another chapter in the Bible that deals, I think, more specifically with our situation on faith. So come tonight and find out what that chapter is.
Amen.
But I think everybody, we all need faith. Listen, I don't have confidence in our government.
Amen.
All right, I don't. You do not have really a whole lot of choice as far as a candidate for president at this point in time. Now, you understand? I mean, everybody in the, you know, we everybody's on a level of fear. Oh, we shouldn't be starting a building program. Look at the cost of gas. Oh, yes, and today in Saudi Arabia, the Saudis are getting together and consumer countries are getting together and they're going to fix the problem. I don't have any faith in the Saudis.
Yeah, amen.
I got no faith in the oil-producing nations.
Right.
I got no faith in this. And by the way, before you get to, you know, so bad, you feel so bad about, look at the cost of gas for the bus and gas for this, that, and the other, go to London. My wife, you know, we flew through London. We went from Nigeria to London, London to Chicago. In London, all right, £1, a British pound, is worth $2.11. All right? So £1, $2.11.
Yeah.
They sell their gasoline, their petrol, by the liter. It takes 4 liters to make 1 U.S. gallon. The cost of 1 liter of petrol in London is £1.17, which means it is $2.11 plus another 50 cents almost. That's for 1 liter. So you figure roughly it's $2.50 per liter, which is $10 per gallon. You ought to run up here and say, thank God I live in America.
Amen.
But you understand, I got no faith and confidence in those people. If oil prices go up, listen, let me ask you a question. Who takes care of you? Now, it's easy to whisper God right now because some of you don't like, what does he mean? The honest truth is if you look at your company, they're limited. God's not limited. God took 3 million Jews or so in a country where they were slaves. And God said, now I'm going to move you to a new country. And even though they were rebellious and didn't go into the promised land, did God feed them? I mean, 3 million or so people. I mean, go down to your local, you know, McDonald's and say, okay, I need 3 million hamburgers, 3 million French fries, all to go. All right? They're going to say, okay, we can do that. Oh, I haven't finished the order. I want 3 million hamburgers, 3 million French fries, and I want them every day for the next 40 years.
Yeah.
And the manager's going to come out and say, go to Burger King. We're not serving you.
Yeah.
Now you understand, God didn't wring his hands. God didn't have to do that. Listen, God can zip open heaven and feed you with angels' food.
Yes.
All right? God will give you cupcakes with frosting. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen to me. Listen to me. God is the one that's going to take care of us. That's why when you have a building program, it's not faith in the economy. It's faith in God.
Yes.
It's not faith in low prices.
Yes.
It's faith in God. If gasoline gets to be 10 bucks a gallon, God will give you 10 bucks so you can fill your bus with a gallon of gas to bring kids to church. God is the one that's going to do it, not man.
Amen.
That's why when you know, it's not, well, how are we going to figure out how to do this? Look at this. It says, let us rise up and build. Let's just do it.
Yes.
Let's go to God and say, okay, Lord, we need the wow, something so outrageous that everybody stands back and said, how did they do that?
Right.
It ought to be, you can't explain it.
Amen.
That's God.
Yep.
But there's something else. Go to chapter 2 and verse 10. The ingredients of a building for God. There's going to be fear. There's going to be faith. Chapter 2, verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly. And there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. There will be foes.
Yeah. You're right.
There's always going to be foes to building for God.
Right.
There's always going to be somebody who doesn't like the bus ministry.
Right. Yep.
There's always going to be somebody who doesn't like VBS.
Right.
I mean, we do our VBS normally in November because the kids are out of school and stuff. And like we did a VBS in conjunction with starting the brand new church. And we had some people come from America. They had never seen VBS like our fashion, ever. I mean, ever. We had 1,500 kids. I mean, 1,500, man. They came from everywhere. And we were busing them in, man, bringing them in, buses coming. And there was a pastor from America. You know, he's a good guy. You know, and he came and he wanted to be a part of this. And we split the group up because what we do is we do all games. We're outside. It's hot. But, hey, there's no problem. We're Africans. You know, you get suntan, you get brown, you get black. These folks, man, they love God. They just want to come.
Amen.
We don't turn them away. So, man, we love these folks. And we've got, you know, we got all these African kids running around and teenagers. Man, we have VBS for 25-year-olds and 30-year-olds, 35-year-olds. They're single adults. If you come to our VBS, we don't have an age limit.
Right.
We have Anglicans come. The Anglican Church sends a bus. 2-hour VBS. They bring their own bus because nobody cares for the children. We do. And we tell them, they came and said, well, man, can we send some workers? I'm sure. Yeah, man, send them. But then we have a rule. The workers have to participate. You don't come and sit and watch. You put on a stupid hat, you're going to be a part of the bubblegum relay. Now, bubblegum relay. Have you ever done bubblegum relay? We just line the kids up. We have four teams. You got, you know, and everybody's got to run down. You run down like, okay, from here to the back of the wall. There's a chair back there for your team. You pick up a fresh piece of bubble gum. You got to chew it and blow a bubble before you can run back. Everybody. I mean, I only got two teeth. Your team is going to curse you, but you can't, you know, you're going to run and chew that bubble gum with two teeth. And then we're sitting back there, you know, right in your face. Blow the bubble! You know, and I'm sitting there, you know, I love the teenage girls, you know, just pretend, pucker like you want to kiss. And they've turned every shade of red. They, you know, and then we have Mr. Ola. Mr. Ola is about this tall. He's a carpenter. I've known him for 25 years. And Mr. Ola, I know exactly what he's going to do. He can't blow a bubble. He will try very hard, but I get him so frustrated that he finally spits the gum out. You know, he's trying to blow, and then, boom, the gum is like, pick up a new piece, start all over. And his team is like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Why did we get Mr. Ola? Now, you understand? Listen, everybody participates. And then I get the workers, all the workers, and we teach. Kids are being preached to. Last year, so the pastor from America, you know, we had all the preaching, and then it's like we're baptizing. And we had our baptistry there, and I told the pastor, I said, now, if you don't want to baptize, that's all right. Because our water is not the kind that you can look in the baptistry and see the bottom. We pull the top off our baptistry and it's like, okay, bring the net. There's three dead lizards. There is a snake in there we're going to pull out. And there may be some other critters in there, but we don't even see. And we don't, you know, we don't have fancy waiters. I mean, we're in Africa, folks. You know, your pastor just takes his shoes and socks off. If he wants to roll his trousers up, go ahead. Get in. Baptize. And I baptized 49 teenagers before I got too tired to go any farther. And then another pastor got in and baptized. But you understand, we do that and there's always a naysayer in the crowd. Oh, well, why are we doing this? You always have foes when you're doing something for God. The devil's always going to poke somebody and wake them up. And they're going to look around. It's like, I'm comfortable. I don't want to move. All right, well, it's going to take us too much money. It's going to take us too much time. Why don't you just go ahead and die and get out of the way? Just go ahead and die. Get out of the way because God wants us to do something. All right? There's always going to be foes. Now, some of you are going to be used by God to be the foe, and others of you are going to be listening to the foes. Don't even listen to them. Get your focus on what God can do and have some faith. Yes, there's fear involved, but to kick the fear out and kick in the faith. Now, when you look at the foes, I want you to also see the fourth thing. Yes, we got the bad and the good. Fear, faith. You got foes, you will have friends. New Man Up Baptist Church, Ibadan, Nigeria, is your friend.
Amen.
We will pray for you every week. I promise you that. Our people, there's going to be a bunch of black people going to be praying for you. And when they pray, they believe there's a God that hears them.
Amen.
When they pray for rain, they pray with an umbrella open saying, Lord, now let it come. Listen, there's always going to be friends. You read in here in chapter 2, verse 12, when Nehemiah got to Jerusalem, he got ready to build the wall, it said, I rose in the night, I and some few men with me. There's always going to be a few who are going to be your friends.
Yep.
You understand? You are in the midst of doing something great for God. The enemies will come out of the woodwork. But understand, there are always friends who are still here. Instead of listening to the enemies, listen to the friends.
Amen.
Decide who you're going to fellowship with.
Yes.
That's why you can't kick people out of your church. I mean, you wish you could, but you can't. But there's always somebody who wants to put a ball and chain on you.
Yep.
You know, dragging it. It's like, well, you're a white man. You can't do that. First went into Africa, I was told we shouldn't go because we had 6 children. I was told that. Oh, it's going to cost too much money. You got 6 kids. It's going to cost too much money to fly to Africa. Now, you know what? We did it.
Amen. Yeah.
It wasn't us. It was God.
Yeah.
God took care of everything.
Yeah.
When we went back to Africa, now it's like, well, you're too old. Or you're too gray. Or you're too physically infirm. Yes, 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 yes. I agree. But I have a God who is not old. I have a God who is not infirm. I have a God who can take care of everything. Listen, I'm not out there alone. Listen to the song that the ladies sang. Abba, Father. I mean, my goodness, crawl up on God's lap and just let Him love you. My goodness. Listen, before I die, preacher, I want to see more miracles. I'm not a charismatic. I want to see God do something that man has to scratch his head and say, how did that white fella do that?
Right.
And I just turn around and say, it wasn't me. It was him.
Yes.
It was him. All the churches that are around, even fundamental independent Baptist churches that are sitting on their laurels, relax. Oh, we can't do anything for missions. We can't do anything for bearing precious seed. We're strapped. We've got all our buses. Wine, 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 wine. Stand up. Look at the devil and spit in his eye. Say, we're going to do something for God.
Amen.
Because you're not alone. There are friends out there. Number 5. There will be finances. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. Now look at this. The king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Now listen to me. This verse teaches so much. Here's Artaxerxes. Nehemiah's in his presence, and he's got a sad countenance. Xerxes looks at him and says, what's wrong? You've never been in my presence sad. What's wrong? You're not sick. This is sorrow of heart. Tell me what's wrong. And so Nehemiah basically said, why shouldn't I be sad? the city of my birth. I mean, Jerusalem. The walls are broken down. The city's in ruin. And Artaxerxes, listen to me. This is exactly like God. There's way too many prayers that are general, generic garbage. Lord, bless me. God gives you 25 kids. You say, like, God's cursed me. Listen, when you go to God and say, Lord, bless me, Mr. Ola, that little guy, he's got like 12 kids. And I had to tell Mr. Ola, stop praying, Lord, bless me. Because God sometimes has a sense of humor. I mean, maybe God blesses you with a car accident. I mean, how many of you want to pray, Lord, I'm going to have an accident today? That'd be a real blessing. Listen, we don't, you know what? God wants you to tell him what you want. Artaxerxes looked at Nehemiah. Nehemiah poured out his heart, basically saying, I'm sad because of the city. And Xerxes looked at him and says, well, tell me what you want. Tell me what you want. That's exactly, now notice what this verse, you know, King James Bible is always right.
Amen.
It's interesting because here's a man who looks at him and says, tell me what you want. And immediately Nehemiah says it, so I prayed to the God of heaven.
Amen.
You understand? Because whatever you tell that man, you're telling God. You understand? God hears your, you know, if I tell a man, that's why, listen, ultimately you can find, you know, a bunch of people who've got a bunch of money, but you just go to God and tell God what you want.
Yes.
Go to your Bible. Take your Bible. Go to Psalm 81, verse 10. Get you out a pen and underline this. Make it a prayer for this year. Psalm 81. Did I say 81? 81, verse 10. Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I tell my church folks, I have told church folks, now listen to me, for 24 years, I have been preaching and telling people in my churches in Africa, you go to God, you tell him what you want. Don't be generic. You tell God what you want. You see, the reason some of you don't have money for the building program is you'd never ask God to give it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, God, bless our building program. Listen, I don't want God to bless the building program. I want God to give me money so I can put something in. That's what I want. That's opening my mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Amen.
Now, there's another verse in the Bible that talks about, in the book of Psalms, that talks about opening your mouth wide, but it's a negative, all right? In Psalm 35 and verse 21, that's where some of you are at. Psalm 35 and verse 21, this is the naysayers. In Psalm 35, verse 21, yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, or I have seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. Now, there's always going to be people that are going to open their mouth wide, but instead of saying, Lord, fill it, they're going to turn around and empty their mouth and criticize what's going on.
Yeah.
I had a special blessing last year in November. We started our brand new church. In fact, we did everything on one day, folks. It was huge. We did our vacation Bible school on Saturday, and then on Sunday morning, we started having church services at 8:30 in the morning. Because we started a brand new church, and then we moved, took all those people and moved to a church that we were celebrating the 20th anniversary.
Wow.
All on the same day. And so we had services all the way up until, you know, the middle of the afternoon, and then just took like an hour break and started evening services everywhere. And we had a great time. I preached in three different churches. But one of the churches, the church where we had the 20th anniversary, there were several men in that church who wanted to give testimonies. You know, because I'm not the pastor of the church. I started it. I pastored it for a number of years, and now it's in the hands of a Nigerian man. Good guy. And so he invited, you know, he said, no, Pastor Mark, we've got some testimonies before you preach. And one of those testimonies was from a medical doctor. And Dr. Ocean got up to the pulpit, and he said, Pastor Mark, and he gave the date that I preached the message. And he said, Pastor Mark has always told us to pray specifically. And he said, in that particular message, Pastor Mark, on that particular day, was like 12 years before I had preached, and I had used this verse, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And this doctor at that time, his wife is also a medical doctor. She had cholera, and she was sick.
He was sick but was in church. And so he came forward that Sunday morning, and he knelt during the invitation. He said, okay, Pastor Mark said, I'm to tell you, Lord, what I want, and I'm to come to you with big requests. That's faith. And that doctor said, he told God, he said, God, I want my wife to be well when I get home. After this morning service, he said, I want to go home. I want my wife out of bed. I want her to be able to cook and have a meal with her. And he said, I want to be well enough to be able to go to work tomorrow. And he got up from that altar. He, you know, gave me a hug, tears in his eyes. He didn't tell me he prayed that. And he's kept this all a secret for 12 years. But he told that story on the anniversary service. And he said, I went home that Sunday morning, and my wife was out of bed cooking a meal.
Amen.
And we had our first meal. We had been sick for 2 weeks. We had had our first meal. He said, the next day I went to work. And understand, you white folks, do you have a God like that?
Amen.
See, in Africa, we've got a real God.
Amen.
That's the last thing now. Last thing is this. I want you to see this. All right, fear, faith, foes, friends, finances. But look at chapter 6 and verse 15 of Nehemiah. Chapter 6 and verse 15. The Bible says, so the wall was finished. There will be finishing.
Yes.
Now listen to me. The sad thing is, there'll be some people who will leave before the finishing.
Oh, yeah.
Always happens. Always happens. Our 20th anniversary at the Independent Baptist Church in Ibadan, our 20th anniversary, there were some people who came to that 20th anniversary who had left the church 15 years before. You understand? For 15 years, they've been floating around. And they came back. They were invited to our anniversary service. They came back and they sat down. We had over 1,500 adults in that meeting. And we had special program. I mean, just great. But there were people who had been in that church who had walked away because they got discouraged because of the finances. They got discouraged because of the programs and whatever. They listened to the foes. And so they walked away. And they came back and it's like, wow, look at what God is doing here. But you understand, God is in the business of finishing. He's always going to finish.
Yes.
He which hath begun a good work will perform it unto the day. In other words, God says, hey, if I start something, I finish it. I finish it. Now, question, say, well, why'd you preach that, Pastor Mark? I preach that because there's some folks in here you can't make up your mind.
Yeah.
Can't make up your mind. See, you're looking at this here and this. You know, if I was doing this banner, it's a good idea. I'm gonna do one, but I'm gonna do one in Nigeria, and I'm gonna have a small let and a big us, because I want everybody involved. Everybody. See, the issue is you need to decide this morning what you're gonna do. You gotta decide. You gotta decide this morning. You're either gonna get in or get out. There's some people here, you know, instead of saying, well, I support what the preacher's doing and I'm all for it, but I'm just poor, then you need to be one of the people that comes down here and opens your mouth wide.
Yeah.
Don't ask God to provide for somebody else. Oh, well, we know this brother's got a job, so Lord bless his job. Well, hey, how about God blessing you?
Right.
Why don't you get on the bandwagon and say, you know what, I want some of the blessing for giving. I want to be able to give. Listen, preacher, you know, he's talking about, you know, the check and the letter. Hey, you know what, folks? The reason my people in Nigeria wanted to give, we're giving out of selfish reasons, because we know what God will do for us.
Yes.
We're not stupid. Give, and it shall be given you. The Bible, the God is a God of laws that are in stone. You sow and you, yes, isn't that right? Now, is that good for Africans? Is it good for Brazilians? Is it good for Americans? It's good for Bethel Baptist Church, too. You understand, my church folks, this wasn't hard for us to do. That's why my church folks, when I said 84,000, their first question after we had the motion and the second, the first question is like, why stop at 84? Let's give them 150.
Amen.
You understand? I mean, these are Africans.
Right.
They look, it's like, hey, why are you so chintzy, Pastor Mark? typical white man. You know, you want to give them 84. Let's give them at least 100,000. And somebody else like, well, 100,000. Let's give 250. Woo! Quarter of a million. That sounds better.
Yeah, it does.
But you understand, they're not doing this because we're a rich church. They're doing it because they've been taught from the Bible. Yeah. And just like Brother Dave said, we're not tossed by every wind in doctrine. We know what God says. Yeah. And we have a God we can trust.
Yep. Yep.
And we say, God, you see what we're doing? We trust you to do what's right.
Yeah.
God will take care of us.
Yes.
And we don't even have our own land. Don't have our own building.
Right.
But you understand, November, we started our church. First Sunday in November. I paid the rent for 6 months. I paid the rent because I'm the missionary. I rented a building for 6 months. First Sunday, Sunday school, I taught on the Bible. And one of the things in the Bible is tithing. I had the pastor from America. He's like, you're teaching giving the first Sunday? And I said, yeah. Yeah, because that's in the Bible. I'm not ashamed to stand up. If God teaches it,
amen.
We're stewards. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I've taught the whole counsel of God.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we've got our church people are memorizing Scripture every month. We take passages of Scripture. You know, beside those things which are without, that which, cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I mean, we've got, my church folks are excited. And well, what are we memorizing for August? I mean, we've memorized Psalm 1, Psalm 8, Psalm 100, 2 Peter chapter 1, the entire chapter. I mean, my folks are excited. You know, you pledge allegiance to the Bible. You know, I hide God's word in my heart. Yeah, you pledge it, but you don't do it. You know, I'll make it a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path, and you don't do it. Words mean nothing. My church folks are simple enough that they take the Bible and say, well, God said it. I guess that must be all right. Isn't that right, Pastor Mark? And it's like, yeah, that's right. So we started in, I paid the rent for November, December, January, February, March, and April. First of April came. I was prepared to pay another 6 months' rent. But our tithes and offerings and the men of the church came to me and said, Pastor Mark, this place is too expensive. We need to move someplace else. And they fanned out and they found a school that's not being used. So we went, negotiated, talked with the people of school. The men said, well, we got money. We'll pay for it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. 2 years they paid for it. You understand? They paid for that for 2 years. Then they took money out of their own tithes and offering to pay for the renovation. They took money out of their own tithes and offering, and they bought chairs. They bought paint. They did all that. They did everything. Then I'm teaching on missions. They want to give away all our money. And you understand, when I left, they still had a quarter of a million naira in the bank after paying everything, and they're just excited. It's like, we need to give some more away. This is fun. They can't understand. They're sitting back. It's like, how is God doing this? You know what? You need a bigger God if your God can't do that.
Yeah.
Let us rise up and build.
Yes.
Go to God and say, God, give me a token. I don't want the whole bus load. I don't even want a tractor trailer load. I just want one token.
Yeah.
So that everybody shuts their mouths.
Amen.
They will know that this is God.
Yes.
Listen, God can build without us.
You're right.
But he allows us the privilege. Let us rise up and build. Listen, I'm excited. I mean, I'm part of two different things that are exciting. I mean, this church here and New Manna out there. And I mean, I know God can meet our needs, both of us. But the decision is, where you want to be. You want to be sitting back naysaying? Maybe you're fearful today. Maybe you just ought to come forward and say, Lord, I'm scared to death. I am just terrified. Maybe you're just too comfortable. But you know what? I've learned this. You either get out of God's way or you're going to get run over. Because God ain't going to stop. He ain't going to stop. I mean, they're right now. Listen, You're in danger if you're in the way, because you've got a bunch of Africans praying.
Amen.
They're praying.
Amen.
They're praying for, they prayed for this service.
Amen.
That's why I told them, I said, we'd take pictures. I put that letter out in our church, man. They're all standing there patiently waiting to sign their name, because we're for this. We're getting to help Bethel Baptist. They don't even know what Bethel Baptist is. They don't know where Ohio's at. They don't care. They just know God is doing something here.
Yes.
And we want to be a part of that.
Amen.
And you understand? If you're going to drag your feet, God's going to say, well, you know what? You see that old steamroller coming. You're going to get mashed big time. Because I expect God to do something.
Yes.
I expect God to take this church and make it a lighthouse for all of this region. You understand, there are good churches, there are churches that used to be really good. They've changed their stand, they've changed their preaching, they've changed things. You haven't. And that's why God will put his hand on this place. And God will raise up this place for something great. As the Lord tarries. Now listen, what do you need to do this morning? It's not between you and me. He didn't tell me what to preach, by the way. I came in yesterday and told him, I've got my messages. I know what God wants me to preach.
Amen.
That's why tonight I know God wants me to preach on faith. Because I think we all ought to look at our own faith. But this morning, where are you when it says, let us rise up and build? Don't go to God and say, well, Lord, I'm just a widow woman, or I'm just a widower. I'm old. I'm retired. I can't do anything. Open your mouth wide and let God fill it. Don't go to God and tell him what you can't do. Go to God and say, Lord, I can't do anything, but boy, I want to do something.
Amen.
I want to do something. You open your mouth wide, you'll be surprised what God will give you so that you can be a part of doing something that will glorify him. Not us, him. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for Nehemiah. Father, the truth that we see in the book of Nehemiah, all the things there. And Father, even the truth from the Psalms, how they prayed. And Father, my church in Nigeria is praying for God, you, to do something so outrageous that men will look and say, God had to do that. But Father, my prayer would also be for the Bethel Baptist Church. Father, your hand isn't so short that it can only help one of us. You can do something great for all of us. Now, Father, I pray that you'd begin here. Father, there's some folks here that are afraid. They don't have the faith. They're listening to the foes. But, Father, I pray that today, this morning, they would be encouraged, because they know there are friends out there. That they would be encouraged to know that, Father, you will provide the financing. And Father, let them be strengthened by the fact that what you start, you will finish. Father, I pray that in the invitation time, you would be honored and glorified. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, you be honest with me this morning. You say, Pastor Mark, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I need to get on board. And you're being honest with me. You say, Pastor Mark, I would like God to do something big through me. It's one thing to pray for God to do something big for the church, but do you want God to do something big through you? I mean, that's a desire I have. Say, Pastor Mark, pray for me. I want God to do something big through me. That's faith. Slip your hand up. Through me. Through me. Now listen to me. Your hand is up. I want you to come during this invitation. I'm not going to force you. You come. You put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor Mark, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I don't know for certain that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. But Pastor Mark, I need you to pray for me. I will pray for you, but I need to know your concern. You're not sure you're going to heaven, but you'd like to know that today. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Is there one like that? Say, Pastor Mark, pray for me. I don't see any hands. Now listen, everybody stand with your heads bowed, eyes closed. If you need to come, you come right now. We're not going to delay. You come right now. You let God do what he wants to do in your life and through you. You come now.